We are going to share the correct answer with you. Are you ready for the correct answer? We're actually going to have possibly a familiar voice, Carla of McMurray, who is often with us. It was her idea to have a puzzle focused on this thing today, because tomorrow is a very special day. Carla, how are you?
I am doing great, and how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm so glad that we're able to do this together. We'll first have you reveal what it is we're looking for, since people might be wondering.
Okay, what you're looking for is Braille, B-R-A-I-L-L-E, which is a system of reading and writing for people who are blind. And it's named after its inventor, Louis Braille. This is the correct French way to pronounce that. Louis Braille, who was born in Couperet, France in 1809 on January the 4th. And that's why we're celebrating today, because tomorrow is his birthday. And his father was Simon René Braille, who was a saddle maker. And when he was 3 years old, he was playing in his father's shop and trying to emulate what his father did. And he was playing with the tools and the leather, and one of the tools slipped, and he poked his eye, and it got infected, and the infection spread to the other eye, and he became blind. And so, he invented Braille. He went on to invent Braille, and it's quite a story, too. I wish I had time to tell you the whole story, but he invented it at the age of 15.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Now, my understanding is he was inspired in part by a French army captain who used a code not identical to Braille, but this captain wanted to have a code that would allow military people to read without light. Is that correct? I've heard that.
Yes. In fact, the name of the code is Sonography. It's night writing for soldiers, so they could use, during writing, when they didn't have to have light. They didn't have to light lamps or anything that would give their location away. And the problem with sonography is it was a system of dots and dashes, but it was more of a phonetic system. It didn't have letters or numbers. It was just sounds, and it was very difficult to read because there were a lot of dots and a lot of dashes. And that, though, became the inspiration for Louis Braille to develop his system of reading and writing, which basically consists of a six-dot cell. And if you can imagine a six, like a domino with all six six dots on it. There are three dots on the left-hand side, and they are numbered 1, 2, and 3. And then on the right-hand side, 4, 5, and 6. And out of that six-dot cell, you can get 63 different combinations. So you can get letters, and you can get punctuation and numbers and just everything you need. And it's much easier to read, much less bulky. And there are systems for Braille in every language, and even Braille music. And he was an organist, and he's a musician, and he even invented Braille music.
Yeah, and mathematics, I understand, too.
Oh, yeah.
As well as computer programming. I know that sometimes there's a misconception that Braille is a language in and of itself, but it's probably better described as a code, right?
Yes, it's a code. It's a code of a system of reading and writing. In some ways, it's a written language, if you want to call it that, but it really is a code. And even within that code, there are codes. One can write in grade 1 Braille or uncontracted Braille, where, every letter is a letter and that has punctuation, and then there's a number sign A to J for numbers 1 to 0, and then you go AJ for 10, and so on and so forth with the number sign in front of these letters. Or you can write in contracted Braille, which has contractions and short forms. It's literary Braille, and most books are written in literary Braille. But so that's So there are codes within the codes, and there are different codes for math and music and the different languages and, of course, the accents. And I teach several languages, so I'm familiar with Braille in all these different languages. And I've seen Japanese Braille, and it still uses, even though the letters aren't the same or anything, it's the same six-dot building block, because all the equipment used to produce Braille produces those six-dot cells.
And is it always the same size, the cell?
Well, there is micro Braille, which is real tiny, which is hard to read, and then there is a way of producing larger Braille too for people with diabetic retinopathy and different things. And a slate and a stylus is like a blind person's pencil and paper. And what it is you have a little stylus with a sharp point, and then you have a frame that has Braille cells, and you produce the dots on that, and you write from right to left because your writing comes out on the back of the paper. And then, of course, there are Braille writers that are more like typewriters that produce the Braille.
If you use a stylus, it never occurred to me. The raised parts are showing up on the back, so you're writing from right. That's clever. You're writing from right to left, and when you flip the page, it's readable. Wow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we've gone into the computer age. So we have Braille displays. And Braille displays, if you can imagine, an array with, maybe 20, 40, or 80 dots, or Braille cells, I should say, just an array with pins that jump up and down to form the dots. And the Braille display can be hooked up to a computer, or we even have Braille note takers, which are like, I have one that has, it's like a tablet, it's like an Android tablet with a Braille display and some special software over it, and I can write, Braille, and it can print, word process, and there's electronic Braille books that you can download from the web, and so Braille's come a long way.
And it's so essential, isn't it? Sometimes people might wonder, with different technologies, with audio assistants or narration, is Braille still necessary? But I think for independence, it still really matters, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely, because that would be like telling a sighted person, okay, you don't need to learn to read. You can just listen to audiobooks. No, you have to have a system that you can be literate, that you can read, you can spell, you can write to other people, you can label things in your world. And by the way, if you look around the world in general, you're going to see a lot of Braille. There's Braille on elevators and signage, Braille on restrooms, there are Braille, and a lot of hotels even have Braille the hotel rooms. And so there's a lot of Braille out there and available, and a lot of way of getting books in Braille and in electronic Braille. I call it web Braille. It's paperless Braille, which you can download to a computer or to your note taker. And it is necessary for literacy. And so there is a constant battle that blind children are not always being taught the Braille that they should be. They're cost-cutting and everything, and they're just trying to do the audio books, but they need to know how to write and read. You shouldn't graduate if you can't read and write. I mean, so you need to read and write to survive in society. People who are blind, visually impaired, that know Braille, that know Braille, are employed at a much higher rate than those that do not. So that's something to keep in mind.
And speaking of writing and reading, I know you know this sound. It kind of sounds like a typewriter, but that is a Perkins Braille writer. And Perkins is the company, I guess, that creates these devices that can allow Braille to be typed.
Well, it was developed at the Perkins School for the Blind. that the Perkins, that's why they call it the Perkins Braille Writer, and that's the most common Braille Writer. It's been around since the 50s. In fact, I have one that was probably, it's metal and it's big. And one day I was a little girl, I was walking up the stairs, and somebody knocked it out of my hands at the School for the Blind, and it went dinging all the way to the bottom. And, you know, with a few repairs,
oh, gosh,
they fixed it. And I still have that brailler with the battle scars to prove it. I was so proud of myself. I saved my allowance to buy myself that brailler when I was a little girl.
I'm really glad you were able to share this with us, because it's a topic that doesn't get a lot of conversation, and it's good to get a little insight into how it all works. I have another question, and I don't know if you know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. When court reporters use their language to take down testimony or a deposition, do you know if any of the contractions or simplification ways they have mimic Braille at all? Certainly it's not something you can feel with texture, but I've often wondered that.
I don't really know that. I have a friend who is blind, who was a trained court stenographer, whom I could ask, but it is a system of shorthand. But I would probably, I don't know, they may have some similar short forms, like in Braille, CD is could, and the letters like A, well, B is but, C is can, D is do, E is every, and they may have something similar to that. But then there are some signs that, like, dot 5W is work, so there probably isn't anything like that, but they may do a double WRK or something. They might outline and leave out the vowels like the Hebrew alphabet or the Hebrew does. You know, I don't know really. I don't know for sure. All I know that contracted Braille has 589, different contractions, short forms, and things that you learn. And there's a big controversy because that's the English Braille edition, and we're now integrating something called UEB, which is Universal English Braille, and it tries to mimic things for the computer so that the decimal point and the period are the same mark, which they never used to be, and different things like that. And UEB became the law of the land in the United States in 2016, and there's still several of us that are struggling with that, because we were taught the old English Braille contracted system. And I don't like UEB, but I see why it's needed.
I did just find a short article, and the two, court reporting and Braille, are fundamentally different communication systems. You can translate, if you will, or somebody could use Braille for court reporting, or take the notes created from a court reporting system and turn them into Braille. But they are very different fundamentally in how they work. But it's interesting to learn about different ways to communicate. Well, Carla,
I misspoke something. I taught myself grade 3 Braille. That's a real highly contracted. That's the 589 system. I'm sorry, but I misquoted myself. But I got all the way through college for 3 years of high school that I was mainstreamed with this grade 3 Braille, because that was way before Braille displays and note takers. So I'm glad you looked that up.
Yeah, thank you for sharing it with us too. It was an absolutely great thing to feature, especially on the day before World Braille Day. So thanks, Carla.
Yes. Well, thank you, and you get my weekend off to a good start.
Happy New Year.